It's amazing how worship can prepare our heart to hear a message. Always love hearing Mike Oslin on the drums. Oh, that wasn't Mike. That was my wife. She doesn't like it when I draw attention to her, but I'm just so impressed with her ability with music. It's just innate in her. Picks up a drums or a guitar, the piano, and I stand in awe of my wife, the mother of our children. I missed her in the front pew this morning with our kids running over me. So if you are a regular here at Titan Drive Bible Chapel, you know that Titan Drive Bible Chapel puts a high priority on teaching and preaching through Scripture in a systematic and expository manner. So if a visitor shows up on any given Sunday, they could expect to hear the Word of God preach from whatever book of the Bible we're working our way through. That said, sometimes we do take a little break and speak on a topic. So if you've been here at Christmas, we have a Christmas message, or Easter, an Easter message. And today's a special day. Being Mother's Day, we have a Mother's Day message. I was heading home from work not too long back, and I needed to stop at the grocery store to pick up a few items before going home. And I walked into the grocery store, turned down the aisle that I need to go down to get the items I needed, and there before me was a scene. There was a mother pushing a grocery cart, but it wasn't a normal grocery cart. It was one of those carts that have like that attachment on the front that little kids can sit in, and there's two pretend steering wheels that the kids can feel like they're driving. So on this cart, on the top of the racing section, on like the top of the area they lay inside, they sit inside, was a six-year-old, maybe a five-year-old boy who was laying on his stomach on top of it, and he was spinning around, alternatively grabbing for merchandise on the shelves and poking his three-year-old brother underneath, who was laughing hysterically and trying to grab his older brother and yank him off onto the floor. It was obvious that the mother had, maybe she had great intentions for the day when she began, but she realized she'd lost the battle and was just there to get her groceries. And like a pro, she was pushing the cart down the middle of the aisle so that grabbing hands couldn't grab the merchandise. Then I realized it was my wife and kids, and I was able to duck out of there without any harm to myself. I kid, it was not my wife and kids. Though that scene has been repeated by my wife and kids. And I'm sure if you are a parent or have observed other parents in the grocery store, you have seen such a scene. And have grace on them. Sometimes you just lose all your pride and you just have to survive. And she did that valiantly. I've often thought like that mothers should have a special wave when they pass each other. So motorcyclists, they have a special wave. It's really cheesy. I don't know why motorcyclists do this, but they're driving along, and another motorcyclist passes, and they'll give them, you know, two fingers down here. You got to do that. Actually, it's the other side, because you're passing this way. So you give them two fingers. You got to do that, because that's cool. You don't do this. That's not cool on a bike. There's two fingers. So mothers, when you're passing in a shopping cart, two fingers down the side. See if we can get something started. So that's one snapshot perspective of motherhood. It's a very limited perspective of motherhood. I'd like to read a different perspective of motherhood by a lady who lived a few generations before us. Her name was Amelia Barr. She, early in life, she was married. She had several kids. And while she and her family were young, tragedy struck, and she lost her husband and several of her children and lived the rest of her life without remarrying. Lived in a time when women's rights were very limited. Lived in a time when to have a career or to earn wages, the opportunities weren't near what they were for men. It was a man's world. It was in the 1800s. And this is what she writes of motherhood. And I'm going to read most of it and then summarize some of it. Women are apt to complain that their lot is without influence. On the contrary, their lot is full of dignity and importance. If they do not lead armies, if they are not state officers or congressional orators, they mold the souls and the minds of the men who do and are. and give the initial touch that lasts through life. The conviction of the mother's influence over the fate of her children is old as the race itself. Ancient history abounds with examples, and even the destinies of the gods were represented as in its power. It was the mothers of ancient Rome that made ancient Rome great. It was the Spartan mothers that made the Spartan heroes, whose sons went out as conquerors and whose mothers armed them with these words, "With your shield or on it, my son." And Amelia Barr recounts the example of St. Augustine, Augustine and his mother's influence and pivotal role in his life. And she talked about the Wesley brothers, John and Charles Wesley, and how their mother was instrumental in the formation of who they were as men. Of Napoleon Bonaparte's mother and how she molded him to be the amazing conquering soldier that he was. Of George Washington's mother and how he attributed everything, almost everything that he was, to his mother, and John Adams as well. And she ends with these words, "There can be no doubt of the illimitable influence of the mother in the formation of her child's character. The stern passion and piety of Mrs. Wesley made saints and preachers of her children. The ambition and bravery of Madame Bonaparte molded her son into a soldier. And the beautiful union of both of these qualities helped to form the hero, beloved of all lands, George Washington. I do not say that mothers can give genius to their sons, but all mothers can do for their children what Monica did for Augustine, what Madame Bonaparte did for Napoleon, what Mrs. Washington did for her son George, and what 10,000s of good mothers all over the world are doing to this day, patiently molding, hour by hour, year by year, that cumulative force which we call character. And if mothers do this duty honestly, whether their sons are private citizens or public men, they will rise up and call their mothers blessed." Amelia Barr. I think that's a much better perspective of motherhood. I think that's probably why at some point in our country's history, our leaders said we need a Mother's Day, because they see the pivotal role that mothers play in the formation of their children. Let me read one of those lines again. "There can be no doubt of the illimitable influence of mothers in the formation of her child's character." More than ever, our country needs men and women of character, men and women of character in leadership and in society. Mothers have a great responsibility and a great blessing in forming the character of their children. Let's pray before we begin. So, Heavenly Father, we stop to thank you for our mothers, to remember them, to remember their care for us in our lives, to recognize the struggle, the challenges ahead of them, and ultimately to see in them those qualities that you've given mothers, and to raise our eyes from them to you and to understand you better because of godly mothers. So we ask for your spirit in the next minutes, the next half hour, to guide us, to just work in us and help us understand you and glorify you and honor our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard someone say that our view of God the Father's is determined by our earthly fathers? Anyone ever heard that? That your experience, to say it in a different way, with your father, whether good or bad, a lot of times will determine how you are able to see or not see your heavenly Father, God the Father. I fully believe this. If a child grows up with a poor father and experiences abuse, maybe mental, physical, experiences neglect, experiences criticism without encouragement, experiences a father who is uncaring, maybe a father who only shows affection or pleasure when his child meets the meets his expectations. A child like this often has a hard time seeing their earthly father differently. I've had friends who have said this before. I just have a hard time grasping the God that the scripture describes because my earthly father was this example. On the positive side, those who are raised by a God-fearing father can quickly grasp the father's unconditional love. This is love that's shown despite aptitudes, that's shown despite a child's abilities or performance. No matter how many times the kid gets up to bat and strikes out, that child has no doubt that his father loves him unconditionally, despite the fact that he may fail at something. A child of a godly father, instead of abuse, experiences positive play and affirmation. Instead of neglect, the child experiences a father who delights in them, who longs to see them when they gets home from work, who wants to do things with them. Instead of criticism, the child knows loving correction and encouragement. And so I'd propose that a godly father is a portrait of the heavenly father. And by having a godly father, a child can better know the attributes and understand the characteristics of their heavenly father. But I'd also propose that a father is only half the portrait. I think that the mother is the other half of the portrait. I think that in God's design of women, in the strengths that he has given them, that they are able to show attributes of God the Father that men are not given the strengths and abilities to display. And Scripture tells us about some of these. And today I'd like to look at a few scriptures that some of them where God describes himself as the attributes of a mother. And we'd only understand if we had understood these attributes of a mother, that we'll only understand fully what God describes of himself. And then other scriptures that I think we can understand God's heart more when we see how our mother displayed these truths. So the first scripture is in Isaiah. God's people, the Israelites, had been suffering because of their own waywardness, great trials, great suffering, and we see God's heart to comfort them. Found in Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God's desire to comfort his people is only understood if we have known a mother's comfort. And to really remember this, you know, children, you can grasp this because you have a mother. You don't have to think too far back to remember your mother's comfort. But I'm going to ask us to go back to those days when we were childs, when we were children, when we were vulnerable, and remember our mother's comfort. Let me give an illustration from the Cole House that might help in that process. Lincoln, about 2 weeks ago, had a really rough day at school. He'd started feeling ill, and he made it all the way through. Got on the bus, came home, getting off the bus, and the moment he saw mom, he burst into tears. And mom held him, and he just cried in her arms. And then through the tears, she was able to understand the story. He'd been feeling ill and whatnot, and she asked him, Lincoln, did you cry at school? And he said, well, a couple tears came out, but nobody saw them. It's a sweet story, but the part I liked about it is that it was mom that he longed to see, and it was in mom's arms that he could cry. And though he may not have felt better, the healing could begin in those tears to deal with his situation. But think of your own experience with your mother. I'm sure all of us have stories like that where our mothers could comfort us in ways that no one else could. Remember being a child in distress and the healing of your mother's comfort and the freedom to cry and the healing that that would often bring as a child. And now look at your Heavenly Father and put this heart in Him, someone who you can go to when you are hurting. And know that that comfort is there, because that's what God says. As a mother, as a mother's heart, so have I. Jesus typified His love for this, looking over Jerusalem, looking at their downfall coming soon, and saying, I long to cover you as a mother hen covers her chicks. God's heart is to comfort His people. And so a question for us, maybe us grown-ups, are you hurting? Has there been loss in your life? Death? Is there illness? Is there sickness? Is there loneliness? Go to God and that comforting heart that God has. See Him anew. See Him as you saw your mother when you were a child. Go to God for comfort that only God can give. My second verse is very similar. It's found in 1 Peter. Cast your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Cast your cares on God, for He cares for you. Again, I think that it's possible, this verse is possibly only understood in depth when, by the experience of seeing our own mothers deeply sympathize with our cares. I think mothers have that strength to sympathize more deeply and more strongly, and they have the intuition to understand what the problem is with their children much better than men do in general. Another illustration from my family. Heather had to go do something one afternoon, and Thomas was down for a nap, and Jenny came over to watch him, and Thomas woke up from the nap, and Mom wasn't there, and he started to cry. And he just cried and cried and cried. He was unconsolable. And Jenny held him, as I would have done. I would have held him. I would have said, there, Mom's not here. Okay, I'll give him 4 minutes or so. And then if he can't get over it, I'm going to put him in his room. I'm going to say, when you're done crying, you can come out and, you know, be part of the family. But just get over it. That's how a father handles it. That's how a father handles it. And there is a place for something like that, I believe. But Jenny did not handle it that way. Jenny held him, and she understood him. He longed for his mother, and Jenny began to cry with him. She wept with him. What a sight. Jenny and Thomas, both weeping on the couch. But you know what? That's a mother's heart. They sympathize with us. You know, man, guys, we just think, what's the problem? I don't see any logical solution to your crying, so get over it, then we can move forward. But you know what? Kids aren't all the same, are they? You know, some kids have little things that just drive them nuts. I miss Mom, and I can't move on. And a mother's heart is able to sympathize. Let's mourn together until Mom gets home. Another child may not have that problem, and a mother sees that. God says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. God doesn't sympathize like a father does. He sympathizes like a mother does. He understands each of His creations. He understands what knocks them flat. We're all different, aren't we? Some of us, it's the silliest things, maybe to someone else, that we can't get over. Maybe it's anxieties. Maybe it's we just feel inadequate in something. Maybe it's depression. You know, things that wouldn't bother someone else. And yet for us, we can't get over it. It knocks us flat on our backs. And to hear a scripture like this and understand it by understanding our own mothers and putting that on God's heart, that God cares for us. Put your cares on Him. Even if it seems dumb to someone else, put your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Second Corinthians 8:9, a familiar verse, says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, No, I'm sorry. I skipped it. Skipped one. Next passage is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering. Is there anyone more long-suffering than a mother? The Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this is another one I would ask us to look at this verse in light of a mother's long-suffering and patience and understand God by it. Augustine was mentioned in the early reading. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the story of Augustine's mother, but when Augustine grew up, he was a brilliant boy, a brilliant man, lots of promise, but he early on turned his back on the faith of his mother, on Christianity, on God's word, on God, and he chased every desire that his heart had. He chased every lust that his mind wanted, and he mocked the Christian faith. And his mother, in these years, prayed for him daily, weeping, prayed for him. Everyone else had given up on Augustine. He's gone. He's not coming back. There's no turning around that dark, unrepentant heart. But his mother daily prayed for him on her knees, weeping for her son, weeping for her son's salvation. And history tells us that Augustine did indeed, was indeed saved, saw the light of the gospel, found God's words to be precious, found Christ to be precious, and completely changed his trajectory to one who loves the Lord and became one of history's greatest theologians, a theologian on whom many of our other well-known theologians stand on his shoulders. My own life, my own mother, a very similar story, where I didn't have any desire for things of the Lord. I didn't desire to know God's truth and how that had bearing on my life. I didn't desire to know God, to know Christ, to love him. And I knew my own mother, though I didn't have any of those feelings in me, to be praying for me daily. This was true of both my parents, but I know my mother especially, praying for me all the time. Many of you ladies around my mother's generation know this too, because she took it to the ladies' prayer meeting and shared it with everyone. Bless you, mother. Mothers have an ability to suffer long, to not give up. Guys, you don't see, what you want. It's not worth investing in this anymore. Let's move on with something that's worth investing in. Mothers don't give up. And I think if we look at this scripture, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And understand that in the light of watching Augustine's mother on her knees crying out for him, that maybe that desire is in God's heart as well, that I long for my creation to be saved. I'm not willing that any should perish. It gives that verse such a fuller meaning to me if I can see the longing in God's heart in light of faithful, godly mothers and how they've displayed that for their children. And then our final passage is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let me read it again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. If you had a good mother, you don't have to think too long on how your mother displays this sacrificial life. How many times did your mother go without that you might have? I know something as simple as at our house, eating bread. I will not eat the ends. My kids will not eat the heel. We despise the heel. I will throw out a loaf the remainder of a loaf of bread, even if there's like one in from the heel, because there's some heel left on it. But guess who eats the heel? Mom. I'm going to give them the desire of their heart, and I can eat the heel. I'm glad I have such a rich heritage of mothers to draw illustrations from. Before Jenny was my mother, I remember wanting to go to camp one year, and I think I only had half the money saved. Jenny found out about it. Bam, I was going to camp. Not only that, but I had a good friend who was interested in going to camp, but his parents were not interested in paying the money to go to camp. Jenny paid for us to go to camp. Now, that's not insignificant. This church is a generous church, and we want to see kids going to church camp because of the invaluable experience that camps can provide. What I think is special about my mother-in-law is the way she lives. If any of you know Jenny, she is the most frugal person in this room. She will not spend the money on herself. She will spend it to bless others at the drop of a hat. But think of your own experience growing up. If you had a godly mother, she demonstrated this right and left, making herself lower, taking less, that you would be blessed. And as she did this, day after day, there forms in us an understanding, I think, whether we recognize it or not, of a sacrificial heart. And when we see Almighty God doing this, is it not that aspect we saw in our mothers, that Almighty God, Christ, with everything in the heavens at his hands, becomes a helpless baby living in squalor? An attribute that mothers live, if you're a godly mother, that you demonstrate the very holiness and beauty of God. So these are just a few areas that mothers, that women can demonstrate attributes of God that children would not recognize God. It'd be difficult to recognize God otherwise, whether it's in your ability to comfort a child, whether it's an ability to sympathize with a child that no one else understands. Maybe it's your long-suffering and your patience of praying for a lost child. There are people in here with lost children. Mothers, don't give up on your children. Or maybe it is just putting others first. And it seems like a lifetime of putting others first. But in the end, something is happening in the character of your child. And they will see that. And if they don't do it today, they will one day call you blessed for it. So let me just finish up here. How a mother can bless her child by bearing the image of God as he intended. So if you had a mother who was faithful in these things, be sure to honor her for it. If you are yet in the midst of mothering, be encouraged, because you can display these attributes of God, and your child will be blessed for them. And for all women, with or without children, we need spiritual mothers. There are many children. Just come to Action. There are many children with earthly mothers, but not spiritual mothers. Whether you have had children or not, you can be a mother to someone. Many of you mothers are great examples of this in this church, and children call you mother, and they will call you mother. We need our mothers. So, as a Mother's Day gift to all of you, I'm going to end 10 minutes early. But let me pray first and ask the Lord's blessing on us and our mothers. So, Heavenly Father, we again thank you for our mothers. And as our mothers were faithful in comforting, in sympathizing, in long-suffering, and in a sacrificial heart, we look from them up to you and see that you are the perfection of these attributes, and we go to you for comfort. We must go to you for sympathy. We must go to you for because you're patient and because you have sacrificed for us that we may know you. We thank you for our mothers. I pray that our mothers would be encouraged to move forward as they mold the souls and the character of our children. May us men encourage them and equip them and live in understanding with them that they can fulfill their duties as mothers to the best that they can. Father, I ask that you bless our mothers, old and young, and may they know just the honor of their children rising up to call them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.